The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Move over, Colbert. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Molly Dishner. Fishing picked up in Ingigik today, and drifters got a couple extra hours this afternoon, and set and drifters will be out again tomorrow. Ugashik is not fishing Wednesday. Nushagak drifters are back out at 1 a.m. Wednesday morning and again in the afternoon, and set netters are extended until 7:30 p.m. tomorrow. Let's start with a look at the numbers. The Port Muller test fishery was slow yesterday, with a replacement index of 28. Today's catch was promising, better than yesterday, but we're still waiting for the exact number. More on the Port Muller test fishery numbers later in the show. Baywide, 629,000 sockeye were caught yesterday, bringing the total this season to 2.6 million. Yesterday's Ingigik harvest was 253,000 sockeye, bringing the total to 1.2 million. The Naknak Quijack catch was 130,000 for a total 214,000. The Ugashik harvest yesterday was about 90,000 sockeye, making a total 287,000. In the Nushagak district yesterday, 150,000 sockeye were caught for a total 914,000. About 41,000 kings caught there this season as well. And in Togiak, 2,800 reds caught yesterday for a total of 7,700. How many fish per delivery? Ugashik 901, Ingigik 318, Naknak Quijack 262, Nushagak 191, and Togiak 34. Beyond the bay, Area M fishermen landed 149,000 sockeye yesterday, bringing the season total there to 1.5 million. Now to the escapement counts. At Ingigik, 42,000 were counted yesterday for a total of 442,000. The lower end of the escapement goal is 800,000. Yesterday's Ugashik count was 28,000, season total 87,000, and the lower end of the goal is 500,000. The Naknak count was 11,340, bringing the total to 215,000. Lower end of the escapement goal is 800,000. The Quijack, 61,000 yesterday, for a total 108,000. The bottom of the escapement goal is 2 million. 3,000 kings were counted at the Nushagak sonar yesterday for a total 67,000 this season. The sockeye count was 27,000, season total 300,000. Sockeye goal is 370,000 to 900,000. The Wood River Tower count yesterday was 62,000 sockeye for a total 388,000. 12,000 were added by 6 a.m. this morning. The lower end of the goal is 700,000. And finally, at the Agushik Tower, 11,000 fish counted yesterday, season total 47,000 and 4,200 added by 6 a.m. today. The lower end of the goal is 150,000. Last up, let's look at the boats. In Ingigik, 466 permits on 381 boats. That'll drop to 463 permits on 378 boats in 2 days. In Naknak Quijack, 614 permits on 524 boats, with more coming on in 48 hours. 629 permits planning to fish on 533 boats. In Nushagak, 443 permits on 369 boats, no changes on the horizon. In Ugashik, 110 permits, 81 boats now, 120 permits on 90 boats after the wait. Finally, Togiak, 42 boats, 42 permits. Pens down. We're done. Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
Naknak Quijack waited patiently all last week for some fishing time. When they finally got an opener, action was a little slow. KDLG's Hannah Colton spoke with a handful of folks in Naknak Sunday and Monday.
It's open now, right? Yes, ma'am. We open at 9 o'clock to 5 p.m. today. And so far, I don't see no hits on my net, but my neighbor on the right of me, he got a fish over in his commercial net.
Okay, so how's this first opener been?
First opener, not too good. We only caught about 2 red salmons for like 30 minutes. Didn't really catch much.
How much have you taken so far?
Out of the 20 days we've been here, we've bought fish twice. We have 11,000 pounds packed. It's been the most different year ever.
So far, nothing to take a stick at. It was pretty early in the season. Not a whole lot of fish came through Iggy Gig when I was down there, and then that breakdown happened. Been out of the game for almost 5 days.
The boats get to go out in the bay here until 5 o'clock. They're 9 to 5, too.
The drifters?
Yeah, the drifters. And like we're banker hours, 9 to 5. Ha ha, I think that's funny.
It's the water temperature. It's 5 degrees warmer than normal. So the fish won't come in. It's like 64 degrees in the river. They don't want to get in it. So as soon as that changes, they're all going to come in at once.
And we've been so slow, but we've been getting some practice. So, you know, we've gradually gotten more fish every day. So it's been good. And then we're just going to get hit all at once, I'm sure.
You heard the voices of set netter Sylvia Elford at Peterson Point, drifters Eddie Chuckwack and Dustin Connor, Rob Trumbull on the Tender Denali, and Shoshana Wilhite at Nakeen Home Pack. The upside is that area managers say things are looking good on the escapement goal front. Igigik and Ugashik area manager Paul Solomon says the Igigik is on track to hit the middle of its goal, and more fish should show up any minute now.
Escapement's tracking real well. We're about 440,000 at the moment, and we're on our way to the bottom end of the goal. But if it continues like it has been, we're tracking to kind of meet the middle of the range of the existing goal.
On the west side, Nooshigak area manager Tim Sands says he's feeling good about his goals.
I'm feeling pretty good about escapement. We feel like we're on track. We're over the lower end of the King goal and well on our way to the 95,000 in-river goal. We're more than three-quarters of the way to Nooshigak sockeye, more than halfway to Wood River sockeye. Igushik's a little bit, not that far along, but it's a much longer travel time. You know, there's 5-day travel time to Igushik Tower. So 5 days of fish in the river, we feel like by the time we have those fish past the tower, we'll be more than halfway, if not all the way, to the bottom end of the escapement goal there.
But he's still waiting for the big catches.
So on a day-by-day basis, I get calls from people and they say, well, it's good or it's slow, and it's usually some of both. You know, somebody calls and says, oh, it's terrible, it's dead out here, and somebody else calls and says, well, you know, there's a little bit of strength on that opening, but it's still, it's certainly not popping yet.
Well, while we wait, we've been looking at the numbers. We suspect some of you are armchair analysts too, so we asked the real analysts to give us a hand. Matt Namath, Port Mueller Test Fishery Project Manager, gave me a rundown this afternoon. So can you compare this year's replacement index to the old traditional index and maybe explain why there's that name change?
Sure. Well, the traditional net was used through 2010, and we retired it then in favor of a new net that we felt was more reflective of the run passing through Port Mueller. This new net was called the replacement net, and so we called the old net the traditional net. And the index that we calculate from this new net is those called the replacement index, and that's been what we've used internally for our assessments since 2011. It obviously wouldn't have been very appropriate to keep calling the new index by the same old name since the nets are very different. And so that leads to the question, how are the nets different? Well, the old traditional net was entirely 5 1/8-inch mesh, and we did about 3 years of research to verify that it's selected for the 3-ocean fish at the expense of the 2-ocean fish. And so after doing that assessment, we replaced half the net with the smaller 4 1/2-inch mesh that we use now to get a more accurate sample of the run swimming by.
Okay, that makes sense. For someone who's at home or out on a boat listening every night to this number that we read, the replacement index, how can they compare that to data they might have from previous years?
Well, a loose translation would be to take the replacement index that we put out each day and multiply it by roughly 2.25. We show this in a figure in this year's interpretation number 2, which we put out on June 23rd. Figure 2 is a graph showing how the replacement index would correlate with the old traditional index.
Okay. And then maybe just looking at the last couple days in general, do you have a sense of how this year compares to last year?
Well, that's one of the main goals each season, and we usually take the first official crack at it between June 28th and June 30th. And so far, the 2015 data has not been quite as cooperative as we'd like. We hope to release a statement late today or perhaps tomorrow.
Okay, I think we'll be pretty excited to see that.
Me too.
Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Not all commercial fishing here in Bristol Bay. It's the time of year when sport fishermen flock to area rivers as well. According to Fish and Game's weekly sport fish update, fishing for rainbow trout is fair in the Naknek and Alagnak drainages. Sport fishing for Dolly Varden, rainbow trout, and Arctic grayling is good in the Togiak River and surrounding area. And in the Wood River Lakes, trout fishing is reportedly excellent at the outlets of salmon streams where smolt are migrating downstream. Fair to good northern pike fishing in the Naknek and Alagnak drainages and in the Wood River Lake system. Area management biologist Jason Dye has an update on king salmon in the Nooshigak and beyond. How is the king curve looking?
Right now it looks pretty good. Through yesterday, we're sitting about 3.5 to 4 days ahead of the kind of desired level. We shoot for putting 95,000 in river. Based on the Nooshigak Mulchat and the King Salmon Management Plan. And through yesterday, we're at 67,000, which projects out over 95,000. So as of right now, it's looking pretty good.
Okay. And are you hearing about very much sport fishing effort on the river?
Yeah, you know, I think, yeah, effort levels are kind of, it sounds like average for the last few years. There's quite a bit of effort right now. It's kind of, you know, pretty near the peak of the season right now, so there would be, you know, a fair amount of effort on the river right now, and you know, I think things are pretty much normal how they've been for the last several years. So, and most of the reports are that fishing's been fairly good, a little bit up and down, but that's to be expected with kings. But you know, I'd say overall it's been pretty good. You know, above average. I'd say that, you know, the fishing's been maybe a little more steady than usual too. So I would say, yeah, fishing's been good.
All right. Sounds overall then like a pretty good king return so far this year?
Yeah, I would say it's, yeah, definitely meeting expectations. And yeah, like I say, right now we're sitting, you know, kind of ahead of the curve. So that's kind of nice. Based on the numbers we have right now, there won't be any EO restrictions this week. You know, if things really dropped off and we saw really low passages for a number of days, there's still some possibility of some type of EO restriction in the future. So anglers should always, you know, check in before they head out to make sure there isn't any. But I would say for the remainder of this week, we're for sure safe from any additional restrictions on the fishery. It's, you know, it's looking good right now.
And what are you hearing about other rivers?
Reports we get from Togiak are that it's above average for this time of year. The fishing's been pretty good, but it's still pretty early over there. So it's, you know, kind of hard to say what's going to happen through the season. And this is all based kind of on anecdotal information from anglers and guides over there. So, but it sounds like things are a little bit ahead of schedule over there. And the Naknek, again, based on anecdotal information, has been fishing well the last couple of days. So that seems to be hopefully producing at least what we would expect. And then the last kind of bigger king fishery in Bristol Bay is the Alagnak, the Branch River. And the reports there have been that it's still slow, but it's still early. That's a little bit later run, so it's still hard to say what's going to happen there. But, you know, fishing the last couple days, up through yesterday anyway, had been relatively slow over there. So that's it.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Jason.
Okay, you bet.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back soon. We'll be right back. In other fisheries news, Undercurrent News reports that Bristol Bay has been warmer this summer than in years past. In southeast Alaska, the Hidden Falls Chum Run is so far below forecast that the hatchery is asking to close the fishery. University of British Columbia researchers say pink salmon survival isn't as good in fresh water that's getting more acidic because they're smaller and less able to smell danger. And finally, in Kachemak Bay, near Homer, the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association wants to move 80 million pink salmon fry into Tutka Bay every year. The Aquaculture Association runs hatcheries and conducts other fishery projects in the area. But Tutka Bay is in Kachemak Bay State Park, and the Department of Natural Resources says the hatchery fish could destroy habitat in the area. KBBI's Quentin Chandler has more.
Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association positions itself as a group responsible for protecting and rehabilitating salmon stocks.
One of the things that we would like to do as an organization is to improve the economic structure of the commercial salmon industry within Cook Inlet. Raising pink salmon for additional harvest does that.
Gary Fondry, executive director of Cook Inlet Aquaculture, says right now they have a total of 12 net pens in the Tutka Bay Lagoon. The pens hold immature fish until they are ready to be released. They can handle about 100 million salmon fry, but that is too many fish for the lagoon.
The lagoon is a fairly confined area, and if we release, or when we release, all 100 million fish from in the lagoon, they return to that lagoon when they return as adults.
When the tide is low, it becomes nearly impossible to maneuver boats into the lagoon. Fondry says if they can't harvest the returning salmon quickly enough, overcrowding will stress the stock Cook Inlet Aquaculture needs to breed the next generation. Their solution is to take 8 of every 10 fish to the head of Tutka Bay. In April of 2013, Cook Inlet Aquaculture applied with the Department of Natural Resources for a permit to move the net pens. The application was first denied and then approved on appeal. But in late May, the Commissioner of DNR rescinded the permit after receiving complaints from Kachemak Bay State Park residents. Nancy Hillstrand is one of those residents. She is a member of the Kachemak Bay State Park Citizens Advisory Board.
And I also have a background in working with rehabilitation and enhancement of the fisheries with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for over a 20-year period.
Hillstrand says Cook Inlet Aquaculture has moved past enhancing pink salmon stocks and has entered the realm of industrial artificial production.
The key is for the hatchery to limit its production to the land allotted to it instead of expanding its huge footprint into a park and critical habitat that we have here.
She says the park doesn't function to help just one species thrive. It is there for all of them.
When you do a plankton study prior to release of some of these fish, you will see a big soup of all different kinds of species out there. And once you release this huge magnitude of fish out into a small, narrow bay like that, it's like a big lawnmower going through.
Fondry claims any impacts on habitat would be minimal. He says the net pens would only be in the bay for 2 to 3 months, starting anywhere around the end of January to the beginning of March.
And they would be then removed sometime before the end of June.
Glenn Hollowell with the Department of Fish and Game backs up Fondry.
There is not a significant salmon return to the river at the back of Tutka Bay. This river periodically, during very tough winters, freezes up very hard. So the gravel freezes down to a very deep level, and it tends to kill off whatever salmon might have found their way back to those rivers.
Hollowell says Cook Inlet Aquaculture approached his department a couple of years ago to find the best location for a salmon release.
When we release hatchery fish, we like to have them released from a very isolated place, and we also like to have them released near a significant freshwater outflow, which ideally originates from a geological source.
A geological source that releases minerals the salmon will home in on during their migratory return. Hollowell says they found two places. They could keep the fish in Tutka Bay Lagoon,
or at the back of Tutka Bay, next to the river that comes down the valley there.
Hillstrand questions Fish and Game's part in this.
The Department of Fish and Game has this directive to give priority to rehabilitating depleted species.
She says they're not doing that, and she's afraid the advice to move Cook Inlet Aquaculture's fish to the head of Tutka Bay will actually hurt chances to replenish populations of animals like Dungeness crab. Cook Inlet aquaculture is in a holding pattern for now. They're waiting for a decision from the Department of Natural Resources. DNR says they're still reviewing the situation. In Homer, I'm Quentin Chandler.
And in Dillingham, this is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Nightly at 6:30 p.m. with replays at 10 and 2, and catch the early weekend broadcast at 1:30 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Thoughts, feedback, fish@kdlg.org. What's going to happen when that oft-spoken wall of fish shows up? We hope the fleet and the buyers are ready and able to catch and process them. All of them. If not, seems a fair amount of sockeye might be getting by. Which reminds us of a Jerry Jeff Walker song. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produced the show. Good night.
But I'll catch it all later. Can't let them stop me now. I've been down this road once or twice.
The Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.